Now the moment you've all been waiting for. I'm going to try. All right. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and Revelation 2. Philippians 2, Revelation 2. We're starting in Philippians chapter 2. And then keep your finger there after we're done. We'll be going back to that area a couple times tonight. Philippians chapter 2, well-known scripture here. If you read your Bible a lot, every scripture is a well-known scripture, but this one is one you hear quite often. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Reading the first three verses, concentrating on the third one. I know this is a scripture written to the church at Ephesus, but there's parts in here that apply to us today. Not taking it out of context, you'll see what I mean in a moment. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. I thank you for the faithfulness of the people here, even though pastor's out of town. And Lord, I just pray that you bless our time around your word. I pray that your name would be exalted through all that's said and done here tonight. And Lord, I just pray that instead of these people having to listen to my boring message, that you'd come and take us home before it's all over with. But Lord, if not, meet with us now, I pray in your name. Amen. We know with all of us in here tonight, I'm assuming I look around and all familiar faces and people in here, I believe, from what I've talked to you and dealt with you and we've done things together, talked together, had fun together. From what I can tell, everyone in here is a born-again Christian. Everyone has accepted Christ as their Savior. Only you know that in your heart. You know, you may have come to church here your whole life. You may have been playing the fake role. You may not even be saved, but only you know that. Maybe you failed to answer the call of Christ to His salvation. And if you haven't been saved, get it done. What are you waiting for? You fit in here. Who cares what they think? You'll fit in here. You got friends here. You got people that care about you, no matter who you are, no matter what your age. No matter where you're from, most of you are from Minnesota, and the rest of you, I'm sorry. But if you're not saved, get it done with. And as Christians, we have many commandments from Jesus, many commandments in the Bible that He has given us to carry out for Him. One of them is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Brother Dave has rounded up a lot of people to go on trips to Eastern Europe. Most of you go to work every day and share the gospel with people at work. Had a good group of people out yesterday to go out and knock on doors and hand out tracts that explain from the Bible how a person can know for sure they're saved and on their way to heaven. Whether they kick us out, slam the door, and refuse us, as long as they have that tract in their house, they have a way to get saved. And they have the reason. They have no excuse. God has given us opportunities to serve Him. People play in the orchestra. They serve God through these talents. God has given some people the gift of singing and can sing out. And some people have been given the gift of hospitality and entertaining and just and doing all these things. But I ask you tonight, you know, there's that verse in the Bible that says, of what you're going to be tried for these works, of what sort they are. Why do you do these things? I know we're trying to get Brother Keogh into the jail over there at the workhouse, and the ball's finally starting to roll a little bit in our favor, and that's a blessing. And I know he's going to have a great effect over there, because there's guys that are searching for the truth. But why? What's the purpose of it? Today on TV was one of my favorite sporting events, is the Masters tournament. And all the guys there, yes, they're trying to win the tournament, and yes, they're going to make a lot of money, and they go home with a green suit jacket. You know, most of you are like, whoa, so what? You know. But the whole thing is their name, the winner of that tournament goes down in history. His name goes up in lights. I mean, today the winner was Jordan Spieth, I believe. He won by 4 strokes. He set a record for the first person in Masters history to reach 19 under par, you know, ever. So now I'm sure they'll change something about the course so nobody can do that again. But it's all about a name, you know. They kept all throughout the tournament. And some of you watched the World Series, maybe the NBA Finals. Maybe you watched some kind of sporting event. And all throughout, they're always talking about, they always have these trivia questions about history or their records and records that will never be broken. And he has a chance. And you're just like, who cares, you know? Really, but it's all about a name. It's making a name for yourself. We as Christians, not only are we challenged to go out and spread the gospel, not only are we challenged to go out and be a testimony, but we're challenged to everything we do needs to be for His name's sake. Not us. It's not about getting our name in lights. I heard one pastor say, and this is just unbelievably stupid, but he said, I believe that up in heaven there's going to be a trophy case and everybody's name is going to be on trophies and awards they want. What are you, stupid? What, so you can brag about yourself and say, look what I did. What did you do? Not about works, lest any man should boast. Any reward you get in heaven is all going to be because of Christ and what He did for you. And that's it. Any reward you get is going to be, have to be, you're going to turn around and want to lay it at His feet. Talking to Brother Paul after church this morning, we're talking about when Christ comes back, what that's going to be like to see Christ face to face. Why in the world would you even think of yourself? You get to sit there and look the Savior in the face and just say, who am I? Who am I to even be here? It's all about Christ. He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. He gets all the rewards brought back to Him. And we get to sing to Him for all eternity. What a blessing that's going to be. I can't wait. But why do we go to work and why do we give testimonies here of people we witness to? Do we do it for our own sake or do we do it to raise His name? It's all for His name's sake. It talks there in Revelation chapter 2 that they labored for Christ's sake. It was nothing about themselves. They would go out and do whatever they did for Christ. They would do it for Him and His name alone, that His name would be exalted and raised and praised forevermore. And I have to sit back sometimes and wonder. There's sometimes I hesitate to give a testimony because I don't want any light shown upon me. It's about what Christ did and what He did for me. Why wouldn't I want to share that with somebody else and have you people pray for Him? Just to elevate His name. So the name of this thing is for His name's sake. It's for His name's sake. We look again at Philippians chapter 2 there, verse 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And I looked at those verses while I was studying this out and I saw the word should. To me, that tells me there's some work that we need to do. He wants every knee. It says in 2 Peter, his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When we go out there and witness, we should have the goal in mind that one day all of Coon Rapids would bow at the name of Jesus Christ and accept Him as their Savior. And one day they get to heaven and see Christ, and they just want to bow in His presence for Him and give Him the glory for His name's sake. The word should there tells me there's something that we as Christians need to do. We need to go out and spread the name of Christ and tell it to everybody we see so that we know that every knee is going to bow to Him one day. But to bow in praise and honor to Him is a totally different thing to bow in humble and begging for your life. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. Sorry. I'm sorry. You dismissed everything about my son. I sent him for you. And he says that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. And I look at that and I said, and I look at our lives and I say, it's not about us anymore. I look at 1 Corinthians 16. Let's turn over there. 1 Corinthians 6. You all know the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're not our own anymore. Our only purpose down here is to spread the gospel, and that not for our glory, but for His name's sake. For His glory. Somebody gets saved. That gal that Joseph talked to, Ashley, yesterday, talked to her. She's got cancer now. And most people, when you hear that, that's just like the death sentence. It is, pretty much. And she's lost 4 good friends in the last year or so. And hopefully, I pray and hope that she takes that track. Did she take a track? She took a track. That she sits down one day and reads, not about what Joseph said, not about what Andrew said, but what the tract says about a loving Savior who died for her and wants her to come to heaven one day. It doesn't matter what you die of, cancer, or that lady and her daughter who got hit by a Suburban and are in the hospital while they're out street preaching. We don't know when they're going to die, but for His glory and His sake, maybe sometimes the doors are closed in our face. A person takes a track and closes his door and goes inside. And maybe the doors are closed sometimes, so Christ, we won't sit there and think we did it. But those people will reach a time in their life when they've reached the bottom and they'll open a drawer and look for a cigarette or a bottle of whiskey and find a gospel tract. And God will get all the glory. They'll read that and realize there's somebody that cares for them, and they'll read it and get saved. All for His glory. We may not even see it, we may not ever hear about it, but when we get to heaven, they'll be around the throne singing His praise and not ours. Praise God. It's for His sake. We're not our own. We don't do this for ourselves anymore. We shouldn't. We shouldn't do it for ourselves anymore. The mega churches aren't going to do it. They're teaching people to ride a rock and roll wagon all the way to hell. They're not going to do it. They think they're using other means other than Christ to get them. I love my church. It's cool. They're teaching them about a God and a Jesus that's cool and awesome and He's great. He's groovy. He's awesome. That's an old 70s word. Groovy. But hey, we need to teach them about a Christ that came and died for you. And that same Christ that loved you and died on a cross for your sins is going to judge you one day too. He's not just a loving God. He's a just God. And if you spit in his face, if you rip up that track and throw it in the garbage, you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. You're not going to think he's so cool. You're not going to think he's so awesome when that happens. You're not. The Catholic Church isn't going to do it. I tell you what, I'd hate to be around fire with a belly full of wine. Well, you're going to burst really fast. You're going to burn forever. You're going to be like a candle with oil. No putting that one out. Teaching them that Jesus is in a cracker. Who in the world do you think you are? Unbelievable. They're not doing it for Christ's sake either. They're doing it for Mary. They're doing it for whoever, the Pope. Name one Pope that's risen from the dead. None. Not a one. I can tell you about a Savior who rose from the dead, and doing so He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave. He's the only one in history that ever do that. And if you put your faith and trust in Him, He'll take you to heaven. But I can't do that with shining the glory light on me. It's not about me anymore. It's about Him. You need to do it for His name's sake. Nobody else is. We have to do it. Talking to Brother Morris this morning, he was a little ticked off. He had to go to a Catholic funeral for his father on Wednesday. If that ain't enough to tick you off, to go to one of those things. Unbelievable. And to look at his church, he has maybe four or five people that come on a faithful basis. And I this morning while I was talking to him, it reminded me, I said, you know, his church is about as big as ours compared to the population up there. He's got four or five people in a community of, what, 2,500? Not including the casino. And here we are with hundreds of thousands, and we got maybe 100, 110, 120 people. That's all there is that want to know the truth and want to serve God and are doing anything about it. It's sad. It's sad. Too many people are sitting in churches. We've seen it. Me and my wife, when we were looking for a church when we first moved over here, you see it. People just sitting in churches kind of, when is this going to get over? The Masters is on. The pastor's up there talking about the Master. I hope. But they're so used to it. And so it's not for His sake anymore. It's for a gold star on a pin. Gold star on the board. Oh, he was here and he brought his Bible. Give me a break. It's for His name's sake. It's not just to be seen. It's not just to have fellowship with your friends, which we enjoy, but we also get to hear Pastor Stevens preach and Brother Dave preach a great message this morning. And there was visitors here who needed to hear the gospel, and they heard it. They have no excuse tonight. They have no excuse. They've heard it. They've heard the truth. So we serve His sake. We serve, it's for His name's sake, because we're not our own anymore. It can't be for us anymore. It's for His name's sake. That's all. Turn over to, well, let's see, 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." We're a testimony. What do people see when they look at you? And that goes to number two, the second point, right back to our scripture in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and let's go down a couple verses farther, verse 12 through 16. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Wouldn't that be a blessing? Verse 15, "that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Think about this. Number two, you're being watched. Everything we do at work, you're being watched. They know who you are. They know what you believe. They know what you stand for if you're a faithful witness. They're looking at you hoping that you'll mess up. So they think they'll have an excuse when they stand before God one day. Well, he's claimed to be a Christian and he did everything I did. Are you doing that? Are you going out with the boys after work? Are you going out to have a smoke in the break room once in a while? You're being watched. It's not about you anymore. It's about everybody around you. You're a witness. You're in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. This nation stinks right now. As far as its moral compass and everything, it just stinks. Anything goes. Whatever you want to do, do it. Who cares? Just go ahead and do it. It's unbelievable. You know, who thought 30 years ago we'd be seeing gay marriage as just the norm around here? It makes you sick. It makes you sick. You know, people bowing down and worshiping sports teams like they're the answer to your problems. That's unbelievable to me. I know, I used to do it myself. Think about this. The best player in the major leagues last year, I think Cabrera for the Detroit Tigers, I believe. I think that's what it was. And I think his batting average was like .349. You think he hit, I'm just guessing. Just guessing. I bet he hit like 35, 37 home runs and had 125 RBIs. Something to that effect. And that's what greatness is. If I'm not mistaken, if he batted 350, perfection is 1,000. They're settling for that. He's not even batting 500. He's not even halfway to perfection. But that's all they got. Some guy can go out and beat his kids. Some guy can go out and rape a woman. Some guy can commit adultery. But as soon as he scores a touchdown, it's all forgotten. Boom, he's right back on the throne again. Makes me sick. I love watching golf on TV. I know it puts most of you to sleep. But I love watching golf. But they are trying so hard to put Tiger Woods back on the throne. The best golfer in the world. They're trying to, Tiger Woods. You know, the leader's 17 under. Tiger's, he's plus two, but he's got five holes left. Anything can happen. You know, you gotta be kidding me. He's done. Why even worry about showing him anymore? But they put these guys in this guy had how many women he was sleeping with? You gotta be kidding. And you're trying to get us to worship this guy. Yeah, he may be great at golf, but you can't just overlook the moral things that's going on in this world. I love sports as much as the next guy, but it's just getting sickening to me how they push these guys on us, and it's just amazing the gay agenda and man living. We're in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. It's just corrupt from the core. A cop will shoot a guy. A cop will shoot a guy in this city, in that city. It happens every day. But if it's a white guy shooting a black guy, oh, get that on the news. Trying to run your lives, make you to believe what's right and what's wrong. We shall overcome. Oh, how many times have we heard that song? I'm not saying anything about black and white, but that's what they put in front of you. All the time. Instead of saying how about the black guy that shot the black guy? How about the white guy that shot the white guy? What's the difference? They all got shot. They're all dead. Making the authority, yeah, there's some crooked cops in the world. There's crooked, crooked correctional officers. You know? But that's, you know, it's gonna happen, but why are you always making the authority look bad? You know, I watch it at basketball. We go to watching basketball games. You see it yesterday. I was watching a little bit of the White Sox and Twins game while we were at Fuddruckers eating these huge burgers. Man, those are good. But man, so I'm watching this guy, and he's up to bat, and the guy throws a strike right down the middle. I mean, it was a strike, and it was strike three, and the ump called him out. And what does the batter do? And he goes, what? What do you, what? You called me out? That was a strike? Questioning the authority. That guy was hired to do the job that you, that he's there to do. Just drop the bat and walk back to the dugout. You're the idiot that didn't swing at the ball. You got referees that do basketball games, and you got coaches going, what are you talking about? Look at him, he's traveling. You know, you got humans playing a game, humans coaching, humans reffing. What do you expect? You're human. They're going to make mistakes. Was it make you look perfect by calling it out? Unbelievable. You're the one who put the losing team on the court to begin with. What are you questioning? What are you blaming the refs for? What are you blaming the refs? Who was that? Who just played? Duke and Wisconsin. Bull Ryan. Oh, the ref was reffing was terrible. Yeah, they made some bad calls, but you lost. You can't replay the game. It's over. Oh, the refs were bad? Oh, here. Give me that trophy back. Here. You get the bad ref trophy. But look at I kind of went off track there a little bit. I'm sorry. We are here for a witness. We're being watched. We're here for Jesus' name's sake. No other reason. And we're in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. We are the lights of the world. People are looking to us. They're not only looking at us to see if we're going to fall. And if you stay steady and stay the course and serve Christ and do what you're supposed to do, you do what's right whether anybody's there or not. People are going to watch that. And if you stay true to the Word of God, you're going to be the light they're looking for when trouble comes. You're going to be the one they come to and say, man, I need some help. I had a Christian friend at work the other day. An inmate came back from court and he heard some news he didn't want to hear. His sentence was going to be lengthened. He didn't want to hear that, and he was just shaking his head, and he was just distraught and beside himself. He didn't know what to do, and he's walking back, and the guy goes, what's up? And he goes, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And then he just thought for a while. And he goes, well, what do you mean? He said, I think I need God in my life. And my friend took the opportunity and told him the gospel, gave him the gospel of Christ. Said, God wants to help you. And he got saved. Praise God. Somebody realized that this world doesn't have the answers. Because there was a Christian willing to be there and be there for him and to speak up when it was necessary. He was the light at the correctional facility that night that guy was looking for. And we all go to work. Most of us go to work a job. You're the light in that job. And we need to keep the light shining. We're also holding forth the word of life. The thing that we have to offer is not us. We have to offer Jesus Christ. The word of life. Nothing else. We have the answer. And when they get done, thank you. Don't thank me. Thank Christ. I'm just a messenger. Praise God, I can be His messenger. But it's for His name. It's because of Him that you have this opportunity now to start a whole new life. Yes, His sentence may be lengthened, but I've got to talk to Him, and it's genuine. He got saved. He got saved. His tears flowing. I'm not saying because he's crying, but something's changed in that kid. Something's changed. You're holding forth the word of life. You look at, we're being watched. You know, 2 Samuel 12 talks about David holding his son that he had with Bathsheba, and the son is dying. You can't tell me there wasn't a lot of people in Israel that fell because of that, looking to their king for direction and leadership, and now they have a reason to walk away and not believe in a God that David did because he messed up. Everybody was looking to David for instruction, for leadership and guidance, and he messed up. He fell hard. But they also got to sit there and watch his whole family fall into shambles. Lost all of his sons as his sons died, one after another. But he was seen by how many thousands of people. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I ran across this verse and it just really hit me. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 21. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among Gentiles through you, as it is written. Are you preaching something at work and living in something else? Are you preaching something else when you're out in public and living some other way at home? What are your kids seeing at home? Are they seeing the same thing you preach on the corners? Are the people at work seeing what I preach and then seeing how I live? Am I turning them away from Christ because of the way I live? Man, I hope not. I hope I don't stand at the white throne of judgment one day and the guy says, because of you and what you did that day, I never received Christ because of what you did. You lied about me. Do you leave your brakes on time? Do you show up to work on time? People are checking those things out. They're not standing idly by. They're looking and watching to see if what you have is real. You don't go to work and get to work and be healthy for work because you work out or you run or you do all these things right, you eat healthy. You're doing it because God's given you breath in your lungs and blood pumping through your body, and you're doing it for Christ's sake. His name is at stake here. It's not about you. Every promotion you get is because of what He did for you. Giving you the ability, giving you that opportunity and the time to perform for Him. And somebody comes up and gives you an honor of some sort, and you just say, praise the Lord. Give Him the glory. Do we do everything for His glory? Psalm, got some verses to read real quick. Psalm 79, 9 through 10 says, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of Thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for Thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by revenging of the blood of Thy servants which is shed. When people say, when you get in trouble, when something happens, when somebody dies, when you run short on money, they're looking to see who you're praying to or who you're trusting. Are you trusting the bank? Are you trusting Bank AmeriCard? Are you trusting MasterCard or Visa to bail you out? Or are you looking to God Almighty? Been there. I ran to the bank. I ran to my credit cards to bail me out instead of trusting in an Almighty God who has everything I need. People are seeing that. Where's your God now? Where is your God now? Psalm 106, verses 6 through 8 says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not Thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of Thy mercies, but provoked Him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. We need to be a testimony saying, my God's going to take care of me no matter what. Here are the Egyptians, the Israelites, seeing miracles and God leading them out of the country and getting them to the Red Sea. And He said, at Mount Sinai, He's like, I'm just going to destroy them all. I'm just going to get rid of them all. man living. They just keep rebelling against me, going against everything I say. You know, what am I supposed to do? I'm just going to wipe them all out. But for His name's sake, who would want to serve a God who would lead His children out in the middle of the wilderness and kill them? He knew the Egyptians saw the miracles. He knew the Egyptians had followed them. He knew the Egyptians saw the pillar of fire that stood between them and the Israelites, and the cloud of mist of darkness and all that. And then they saw God look at them through the flames. Unbelievable. That would be scary. And then for God to turn around and kill them all right there? What kind of testimony would that have been to the Egyptians? How many, you know, to get back to Egypt and tell, well, God killed them all. Really? Well, let's go worship Dagon. Let's go back to our idols. They saw what happened. They saw that sea open up. And they saw all the miracles that happened. And they see what happens in our life. What are you doing with it? Are you letting God work? Or are you trying to do it yourself? Are you getting the glory? Or is it for His name's sake? Ezekiel 20, chapter 20, verses 13 and 14, "But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths were greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out." You know, God's just loving enough that if you're not living right and you're doing stupid things, you're His son. Well, I'll get him out again. Maybe He'll serve me this time. But now His name is polluted in front of the heathen. You see, it's not just about going out the doors. It's not just about knocking doors. It's not just about reading your Bibles and praying and being in church. It's about Him. It's for His name's sake we should be doing it. Everything we do should be for His name's sake. Everything we do. In James 1:26, it talks about a man who's, if a man bridleth not his tongue, man's religion is vain. What are you saying at work? What kind of jokes are you telling? What kind of comments are you making? Are they off color? Your religion is vain to them now. What you believe is vain. It's empty. The people that hear that, oh, he's just like us. What do you got that's different than they got? What do you have that you can tell them that they're going to say, oh, that's different? Oh, I've never heard that before. Are they going to listen? Number three. Number one, it's not about us anymore. Number two, you're always being watched. Number three, for His name's sake, we're fighting an uphill battle. We're fighting an uphill battle. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. These scriptures, you know, I'll go through these last couple points rather quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Did I write that right? I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Verses 1 through 5, you all know these verses. Again, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It says in that second verse, for men. Doesn't say unsaved men. Doesn't say heathen men. Doesn't say unbelieving men. It says men. You see it not only in the world, but in churches today. All these apply to all men, everywhere. And you see it, it's perilous times, because you go out there and you witness to people, and you sit there and you're trying to make some headway for the Lord and doing Him a service and giving out the gospel, and you start going forward a little bit, but all of a sudden this guy says, well, I know a guy that says he's a Christian, and he lives just like I do. And you're stuck. You're paralyzed. You can't move. You can't move forward for Christ because of the way people are. The word Christian is so loosely used now. You're a Christian if you just mention the word Jesus once in a while, even a cuss word. Oh, you must be a Christian. Really? You know, they hit their finger with a hammer. Jesus Christ! Oh, you must be saved. You must be a Christian. It's so loosely used. It's just thrown out there like born again, and all these words are just, they're just bywords now. There's just nothing meaning to them anymore because everybody's a Christian. And it's sad because those who are truly born again and wanting to give out the gospel are trying to give out the gospel, but it's perilous times because you're not getting anywhere. Well, I go to this church. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Well, I go there, I must be a Christian. No, it doesn't mean anything. It's sad. It's perilous times. Go over to chapter 2 and 1 Timothy, or chapter 4 and 1 Timothy 1. I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm all over here. You have your Bible upside down, and you've got to be here somewhere. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We ran into, I can't remember who I was with. I think it was Brother Jeff. We were out knocking doors and we came across a Lutheran minister. Was that you that we were? Yeah, that was you. We came to this door and we're talking to this guy and he says, oh, and I'm a pastor at such and such Lutheran church, you know, leaf off the fallen tree or fallen leaf off the tree Lutheran church. You know, and wow, that's great. You know, and Jeff says, have you ever been born again? He said, well, I was born again when I got baptized. Is that what you preach to your people? Is that what you're telling your people? You're lying to your people? And he sat there and argued and argued and argued about this. He has a seared conscience. He's been lying to people for years, so it's obviously got to be the truth. You watch the news often enough, they'll lie to you often enough about gay marriage that you'll think it's okay. It's got to be right. You know, it's messed up. It really is. We're paralyzed. We're sitting in one spot. But we can't stop. We have to keep trying to get the gospel out. It's not about us. It's about getting the name of Christ out there. It's for His name's sake that we are here today in this time. There's been people that have gone through worse things for Christ in other countries. The apostles were butchered for Christ. The missionaries, you've read Fox's Book of Martyrs and seen the unbelievable things that they did to people that proclaimed the name of Christ. And here we are, we get a door slammed on our face. But Christ has us here at this time for this particular time for a reason. He has you and I here right now. He doesn't have the Apostle Paul here right now. Maybe he knew the Apostle Paul could handle what he went through better than we would. And Peter and James and John and all the things that happened to them. I'm not much for pain. So to have what happened to Paul getting stoned and getting up and wanting to go back into the city again, I probably wouldn't have. Say, what did he just stone me with stones? I'm not going to go back in there. Are you crazy? All full of knots and blood and everything. All right, let's go back in there and preach some more. What? But He has us here right now. And all we get, we're out on the street corner preaching the gospel of Christ. The car's driving by and all they do is flip you off. Who cares? Oh, flip me off. You're not flipping me off. You're flipping off the Word of God. That you're saying that to the gospel message. Hey, go back home. Hey, Christ, go back where you belong. I want to live in my sin. Leave me alone. They're not yelling at you. They're not slamming the door on you. Guy yesterday, I'm not interested. Not interested in what? I haven't said anything. You know, I haven't even said anything. They just assume, like, all right, read this and you'll be fine. You know, everything's going to, I'm here to sell you brushes. You know, I'm not here for that. I'm here to give you the gospel. I'm not interested. Imagine that, standing before God one day. Hey, you remember this guy? Remember when you shut the door on this guy? He was about to give you a gospel tract that explained how you could have eternal life and you could be going over through that door instead of that angel taking you and throwing you in that burning lake. It's your fault. We go out knocking doors and handing out tracts for His name's sake. They're not spitting at you, they're spitting at the gospel of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny? Whenever you point it out to somebody, I've done this to some of the inmates at work, I've said, have you ever noticed that the only names that are used as cuss words are Jesus Christ and God? And they sit there and think about it and say, there's a reason for that. You ever notice that the word hell is always used? There's a reason for that. It's in your heart. You know the truth. But you're trying to bring the Almighty down to our level. You're trying to make Him lower than you are and think you got a better idea than He does. There's a reason. Just listen to people speak and how they talk. But we're fighting an uphill battle. And it's not against the unsaved heathen. It's against other churches and other people that claim Christ as their Savior. And that are living like the devil. We got to keep going though. It's uphill, and we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for His name's sake. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Real quick, no, I went the wrong way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 3. For our exhortation was not of, boy, that's not right. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. I wonder. Woohoo! That's a good verse too, though. Chapter 2, verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Oh, man, he's already working. Man, living, he's working. The devil really scored a big one with these new versions, I'll tell you that. Boy, that's what these mega churches are built around. They have no conviction. They have no Holy Spirit. They have nothing. Nothing at all. They have a rock band. I had somebody at that church tell me that that's how they get the Spirit moving. Really? Really? The Holy Spirit doesn't know what He's supposed to do? Well, he's back there just kind of, oh, that's my cue. And he comes out on stage, hey! Come on. It's like unbelievable. Oh, there's the music. I got to get going. I got to start convicting people. Really? What kind of spirit are you conjuring up with that? That's not the right spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit I know. A broken, contrite heart. Somebody who just reached the bottom, had drank their last bottle of whiskey and has nowhere to turn. And the Holy Spirit pricks their heart and says, you need Christ. I have an answer for you. It's just like that Raul in Romania. Big guy. Worked for the mafia. Big dude, man. And he tells his story and he gets to the end of his rope and he quits the mafia. He has nowhere to turn. And one day he's sitting on a park bench. He tried to commit suicide. He was dead in a gurney with the body bag. And he came back to life. And he got up, he sat up. Can you imagine being in that room? I'm out of here. Get me out of here. But he got out of there and he was sitting on a park bench one day and prayed and said, God, if you're real, Jesus, if you're real, I need your help. I need you to show me that you're real. And not 5 minutes passed. And there's a missionary over there that we met that works with Brother Nibby. walked up and gave him a gospel tract and said, "Hey, brother, do you know where you're going when you die?" That's how the Holy Spirit works. Hey, God, you hear that? That guy wants to get saved. Go get this guy over there. That's not coincidence. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works and how He works in lives. But we're fighting an uphill battle with these rock and roll churches and these Christ is awesome and Christian nightclubs. Really? Really? Smoking Christian marijuana? Praise God. Praise whatever God I'm seeing right now. Pass me a glass of spirits. Unbelievable. Last thing. Number one, it's not about us anymore. Number two, you're always being watched. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for Christ. Everything we do, it's for His name's sake. Number three, we're fighting an uphill battle because of just the way the world is, the way the churches are today. Unbelievable. Unbelievable the way some of these churches operate. Just take the name. Instead of taking the name Baptist, why don't you take the name church off? That'd be a lot better. You know, just say, you know, Sunday dance meeting, you know. What was that? The old show? Never mind. I won't even get into that. Dance Fever. Whatever. Number four, we're in this together. We're in this together. Romans 15:30. Turn over there if you would. We'll wrap this thing up here fairly quickly. Masters is over, so you don't have to get home right away. Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Everyone sitting here tonight has a need. Every one of us sitting here or in this building tonight has a prayer request or some sort. Maybe this week they're going to be facing a difficulty they won't be able to get through by themselves. Back in these rooms before the service started, we had prayer time. We're sharing with our brothers and sisters in Christ the burdens we have in our hearts. The burdens for somebody to get saved. The burdens for somebody to be healed and somebody to be changed. And somebody to come to church and be changed in their life and get straightened out. That's not in vain. You need to remember these are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and God lays a name on your heart during the week. Stop for a moment and pray for them. Keep the prayer list in your back pocket or something so you can remember, hey, they asked me to pray for them. We have to stick together. We're in this together. I pray that somebody won't get heady and high-minded and forget about Christ and why we're here to do what we're doing. Pray that we're doing it for His name's sake and not our own. Stick together. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." For Christ's sake He forgave us. Why can't you forgive the brother that sat in your pew? Really? It's a chair. It's a place to sit. We got all kinds of empty ones here tonight. You can sit up here if you want. I don't care. You can stand here and preach. Have at it. Man, living. Why can't we forget them? Oh, I can't believe they brought that to the potluck supper. I don't like that kind of food. Well, then don't eat it. Don't hold a grudge. Don't be mad at a brother and sister in Christ. Oh, look what they wore. I hope they sit over there. I hope they showered today. You know, unbelievable what things go on in church. There was something, we attended a church once, and I think there was things going on prior to what happened, but the final straw was at a potluck supper, somebody sliced the pickles wrong. Oh, my! That's got to be in here somewhere. Unbelievable. Thou shalt not. They cut them in quarters and not halves. Oh! Oh my, I know they taste different in quarters than they do in halves. families left the church. They went and started their own church over pickles. Now, they go to work that day. Why did you start a new church? How was that going to raise the name of Christ? How was that going to bring glory and honor to His name? Okay, that's one church I can cross off my list. I don't want to go there if they slice the pickles that way. People walk out and leave here because they hear the truth. But we have a pastor that chooses to lift the name of Christ and not worry about what they think. People walk in the door, he doesn't change the message. Oh, I better not say that. No, he lets her fly. He says what he thinks and backs it up with Scripture. What are you going to argue with? Why do you go calling? Why do we go soul winning? Why do you go street preaching? Why do you give the gospel to people at work? It's for His name's sake. It's nothing about us. Nothing about us. We can't be thinking that there's any glory in us at all. This is all about Christ. He gave His life for us. Why can't we give our lives for Him? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this night. I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for all You've done for us. Lord, we can't praise You enough. We can't thank You enough. It's going to take all eternity to praise Your name. And You're worth it. You're worth it. And Lord, I just pray that You'd be with us now tonight and think of who we serve and why we serve. What's the meaning? What sort is it? And Lord, I just pray that You'd bless our rest of our night together here around and just help us to search our hearts and really see why we're serving You and why we're doing what we do. Bless the rest of our evening here. Thank You so much for all You've done. In Your name, amen. All right, just stay with your heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. I don't know if God spoke to your heart tonight, but this really spoke to my heart reading through this and questioning myself on why I do what I do. Why do I read my Bible? Why do I pray for my brothers and sisters? Why do we study the Word of God? Why do we witness to people? Why do we give out tracts? Do we do it for our own glory? Do we do it to be seen? Do we do it because we have to? Do we play in the orchestra because we have to? Do we sing specials because, wow, he's really got a good voice or she's really got a good voice? Or do we do it for His name's sake in the gospel? Just think about it for a little bit. He did it all for us. We just do it all for Him. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. He's got us here for this time in history. I just pray that we'd serve Him and serve Him for His name's sake. Let's stand and turn to number 111 in your hymn book.
Thank you.
right. Thanks for your comment. Thanks for your attention. And Brother John Rodriguez, would you dismiss us in prayer, please? Amen. Thanks for coming. We'll see you later. See you Wednesday.